Well, God bless you and welcome to this class on tongues with interpretation and prophecy. As we get into session one, the giver and the gift. We're going to have a great time here today. When I think of all the wonderful stuff that resides in our spirit man, I just want to shout glory, hallelujah! Because living with our papa is so very, very cool. God gave you 9 awesome manifestations or ways to evidence the Holy Spirit that lives within you simply because He loves you. He didn't have to give you this. He wanted to bless you. And you know, the gift of Holy Spirit is absolute proof. It is proof positive that the Father is in us and with us at all times. That's why when we pray, we bow our heads because we want to see where God lives in you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. I think I'm reading out of the NIV. God decided, Ephesians 1, 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family. That's the purpose of the ages right there, for God to have a family. By bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So, friends, you and I give God great pleasure. The more we press into Him, the more we do the things He asks us to, the more fellowship we have with Him, the greater pleasure we give Him. It's like any father-child relationship. The sweeter that relationship, the more pleasure there is in it for everybody involved. And of all the things that God has ever done, the greatest gift to mankind is Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we are born again. That is the new birth. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and at that moment of time, boom, we get filled with the Spirit of God. But you know what? Romans 10, 9, and 10 is where a whole lot of Christians just stop. They're like, okay, I'm going to heaven. That's great. You know, I'm going to live eternal life. But they don't take any real consideration of the astonishing spiritual inheritance that they have right here, right now, in this earth. Because we have the new man inside. We have grace upon grace. We have favor. We have over 900 promises. And today our focus is going to be about power. 9 manifestations. Power for abundant living. And here's the deal. You are a 3-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. You are a spirit. That's the eternal part of you. You have a soul and you live in a body. So you're not a human being having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit being having a human experience. This world is going to fold up like a garment, it says in Peter. But the spirit man, your eternal spirit lives in you right now. Right, this is the one you're going to have for eternity. You got in that moment of time when you accepted Jesus. That, to me, is the miracle of all miracles. And it happens in a flash. Because every one of God's kids, we're all going to jettison, put off this earthly body with its limitations one day. And we're going to have a new spiritual body, just like Jesus had when He came back from the dead. And here's the wild part. God is spirit. We really can't understand much about God. We can understand a lot what we need to know, but the closest thing I could compare God to is broadband, because it's every place now, you know, on your laptop, your phone, whatever. It's all around us, but we're the ones that have to connect to it. First of all, we have to have the device. And for us, the device is the new birth. But then we have to know how to log in to these different programs. But we've got it. Everything we need is on the inside. And you can see in your chart there, body, soul, and spirit. And look at it. It looks almost like a MasterCard, because what we want to do is put the master in charge of our life. But friends, when we got born again, everything inside us changed. Papa created, I use that word correctly, created a new spirit man inside of you, and the Father and the Son moved into your heart, your body, so that now we have access to them 24/7, all the riches of heaven, 24/7. Look at John 17, please. John 17, verse 21. These verses are also in your syllabus. You can just follow along if you want. John 17, 21, Jesus was talking to the fathers of saying about us, his current disciples and his future disciples, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me. When you think about the spirit man in you, think about how full of Jesus was with the Spirit of God. That's what we have. And I in thee, that's not just sonship, that's fellowship. And Jesus prayed that they also may be one in us. That's why when you look in the mirror, you're seeing where God lives. God literally lives inside of you through his spirit. Not all of God, but his nature, his spirit, his essence. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Well, who is God in? Those who are his children. Who's the all there? Those who are born again, those who are children of God, born again of God's Spirit. 1 John 5:9 says, and how do we know this? How do we know he's in us? It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, duh. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. Verse 10, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. What is the witness? Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost. That is how they knew that God was in them of a truth. They saw the fire come down from heaven. They saw it sit on their head. They opened up their mouth and they spoke with other tongues. And the people from different, this was the phenomenon of Pentecost. The people who understood what they were saying from these different countries, Parthians, Medes, Scythians, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. They heard them magnify God, and then Peter stood up and did that phenomenal testimony. You men of Israel, open up your ears. You're going to hear something special right now. And that day, about 4,000 people got added to the church. What a way to start. God starts everything with a big bang, right? I mean, he didn't do this under a bushel. He did it right out in front of the whole town. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And this confirms what it is. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, our new creation, the gift of Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. And this always blew my mind. And joint heirs with Christ. I think that was one of the first things that blew my mind when I started reading the Bible. And still, I have to work my mind to accept that I am a joint heir with Christ. That God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. That God would do anything for me he would do for Jesus. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God now. And that's what it says in, I think it's Colossians or Galatians, to set our affection on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. We're there with him. Ephesians says we're seated with him, right next to Papa. And this, all this beautiful stuff about especially speaking in tongues was prophesied way back in Isaiah. In Isaiah 28, in verse 11, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That's what happened on Pentecost and still happens today for every born-again believer who wants to manifest speaking in tongues. To whom he said, Isaiah 20:11, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak with in tongues more than you all, and I bet he did. Look at Paul's life. He had been beaten, he'd been whipped, he'd been shipwrecked, he was stoned to death, and they raised him from the dead. He'd been in prison and put in stocks. And loved God so much, even after all that pain, he's singing psalms and hymns. And God miraculously delivers him from prison. And he goes and gets the jailer born again. But looking at Paul's life, I mean, a lot of it was a rough and tumble road. Don't you think he could use some refreshing? Me too. And so that's why in this first session, I'm just driving home the importance of speaking in tongues, because if you can do one manifestation, you can do all nine. So speaking in tongues, when your heart is so full of thanksgiving that you don't know how to praise God, speak in tongues. When you get your back against the wall and nothing is working, speak in tongues. When you're in a situation where you need God's wisdom, speak in tongues. And expect the answer to come. When you're feeling all alone and that nobody cares and you're all by yourself and you're just about to have a pity party and you need to sense the Father's presence, speak in tongues, which tells you that God is right there with you and in you. It is proof positive that He's our dad and He never leaves us. And you know what? It's proof positive that everything in the Bible is true. Either one part of this book is true and it's all true, or one part's a lie and it's all a lie. No, man, it's truth. It's power. And we have been given the power to live abundantly, to live a supernatural life. This is a gift. It comes from God. And all he wants his children to do is to learn to enjoy it. That's why we're here today, learning to enjoy manifesting God's power. Let your inner lion roar, remembering that you're a three-part being. And right now, you're wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. I know, you look in the mirror, see the gray hairs coming out, or the other hairs falling out. Or if you're young, you may see the zits on your face and say, well, that doesn't look like a spiritual person. I don't look like Jesus. Nothing's changed into my face. But honey, everything's different on the inside. You've gone from life and death unto life. You've gone from mortal to immortal. You've gone from being without God and without hope to having Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have to look at these things of who we are in Christ through our imagination, through the eyes of our heart, to get this just drilled into our brain that we're a new creation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And that new creation doesn't come and go. God doesn't move in and out. He doesn't say, well, I lived at this address for a while. I'm going to go get a new house. God made his dwelling, his home in you. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit that was promised. Way back there in Isaiah and in Joel, the Spirit of promise, verse 12, that's the verse above it, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. God filled us with his Spirit and then vacuum sealed us, so that nothing can ever touch your spirit, man. The devil can mess with your mind. The devil can mess with your body. But he can't touch your spirit. And when you get locked into your spirit and really believe what's inside of you, then whatever he touched in your body and hurt, you can heal. Whatever he's messing with your mind can be restored. Because out of the three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, the most powerful part is by far the spirit man. There's not even a comparison. It's like comparing a pebble on earth to a rocket ship that's reached the end of the universe. And every one of us has the exact same amount. So you can't go around praying, oh Lord, give me a double portion of the spirit. Fill me up with your spirit today. Let it flow. No, you're already full of it. The spirit. All you have to do is use it. And back in that first, in Ephesians 1:13, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which he promised long ago. Like I said, way back in Isaiah. He gave us the Spirit so that we know that every word in the Bible is true. And the key to everything we're going to do here today is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. Your spirit man, the Christ in you. Not one of these manifestations have anything to do with the five senses except your will to manifest. That's the only thing it has to do with your freedom of will. Everything else is pure 100% spirit. And we have an unlimited amount within us. You know why? Because God is limitless. He's limitless. It's not like if you do a big miracle, he's got less power to give over here to Janie or Mark or Sam. He has infinite power. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 is one of my favorite verses along these lines. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord, and that's what happened to you at the new birth, and you're really cemented when you're in fellowship, and you're thinking like Christ, and you're putting on the mind of Christ, and you're believing God like Christ. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That word one is H-E-I-S. It means one and the exact same spirit. Whatever God composes God, the spirit of God, those same elements spiritually are in your body now. You're his child by seed. You've got his character in you, his power. And your spirit is the part of you that's in the image of God, not your face, not your aches and pains, but your pure 100% grade A perfect spirit. Not your flesh, not your stinking thinking, but that spirit that is exactly like Jesus. God and Christ in you. And you know, that's the essence of Jesus saying the kingdom of God is within you. You might say on your TV set, we have total access to this now. Ladies and gentlemen, we got total access to heaven, the things of heaven. And have the ability to bring the supernatural from that realm into this earthly realm. Like I said, at the time of the new birth, you can be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. At the time of the new birth, your body didn't change, your mind didn't change, but your spirit, brand spanking new. New creation, head to toe, spiritually. That's why God says he's closer than our very breath. Because he literally is closer than our very breath. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It's always, God's way of putting things is very humorous if you can let yourself laugh at yourself. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, what? Dwells in you. Like I said, you're not his vacation home. You're not his RV. God dwells in you. And you can read it right here in the Bible. And it is so simple, you have to be taught not to believe this. You have to be taught to be stupid enough not to believe this. These words are simple. You don't need a concordance. And this is why all nine manifestations work for the born-again child, because God's Spirit lives in you. He dwells in you. Is all of God in you? No, don't be silly. But what gets created in you is absolutely simpatico, compatible with the Spirit of God Himself. And now you see your chart on your in your syllabus, and this is how the manifestations work. Up at the top, we see God the Giver, who is Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S, can only give what He is, which is His gift, Holy Spirit. Notice it's lowercase H and S, because you're not God. You simply have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Holy Spirit, which is God and Christ in you, which is the power from on high. And then you see the little circle is you, people. That's you. Where it says the gift. That's you. That's your body is that circle because you're filled with a spirit. And then you can see the nine manifestations surrounding that, coming from that Spirit of God within you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 11, whether it's speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, or gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, 12:11, but all these work are energized by that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Please note the emphasis here on the words one, self, and same. That is a triple reflective emphasizing the Spirit of the one true God. God is the one who energizes all of these manifestations. They all come from God the Giver. There's no other source. They come from God and God alone. And when it says it divides to every man severally as he will, that's the emphasis there, the as he will. It means as that man desires. He can operate all nine because God gives us all nine. But how many will you manifest? As many as you desire to manifest. If you can have them in, you've got the nine manifestations, the ability to do it in you, but it's like having a toolbox and you've got a screen that needs to be tightened up. And instead of getting off the toolbox and taking out the screwdriver, you just sit there and say, oh, I've got the tool, but I'm not going to use it. Silly, right? Why would you not want to do all nine? I mean, I think of the nine manifestations as a Swiss Army knife. I used to have a really cool one, a big fat one. And I had one with nine tools I used to bring to the classes I taught live. Once you got that knife, you know what? You can use the blade. You can use the little saw blade. You can pull out the toothpick. You can use the screwdriver. You know why? Because once you got the knife, it's your gift. You own it. And you can do whatever you want to with it. The gift of Holy Spirit has nine ways to manifest. You own it. You own the gift. It's you. Christ in you is the gift. You got it. It's yours. It's vacuum sealed. Nobody can take it from you. So how many of these nine will you do? As many as you want. It's up to you. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the other parts of the earth. And I think about Mark 16 every time I read this verse, because it says that the Lord went with them everywhere, confirming His word with signs following. People, if we don't operate the manifestations, we're not really confirming the word with signs following. We may tell people about the word. We may be able to rightly divide what the passages mean, but to really believe that God is in you of a truth, we need to be walking in signs, miracles, and wonders. That's what confirms that the word actually works. And speaking in tongues, that's the baby one. That's your training wheels for everything else. And it's so easy to do. Anybody can do it. Children do it. They also interpret and prophesy, by the way. And I tell you what, folks, it was that gift of Holy Spirit that empowered the apostles in the first century, who before that, They were living behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But after the day of Pentecost, they spoke and acted boldly. I mean, to the point they were getting thrown in prison, taken before the judges, and did not change their testimony. Why? They were living fearlessly after Pentecost. Because after Pentecost, they had proof that Jesus' power didn't leave them. Jesus just moved inside them. Folks, nothing takes the fear out of a man or a woman like believing and receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. When I was 23 years old and full of fear and anxiety and ulcers and all kind of stuff, and somebody taught me the same truth from God's word that I'm sharing here today, that's when I left all my earthly possessions out in San Francisco. I was in Rome, Georgia. That's clear across the country. And I told my ex-boyfriend out there, you know, the guy I was engaged to, I said, you can either get with my program or send my stuff back. Well, he sent a few things, not much, but that's beside the point. Bottom line is this. I saw the truth, man, and I glommed onto the truth like a texan on a pork chop. You know why? I wanted to live without fear. No, that's not strong enough. I needed to live without fear. And you know what? God never, ever, ever disappoints. It's just so sad that so many Christians have this magnificent gift, the ability to heal, the ability to receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the ability to perform miracles, and they just sit on it and never use it. That must break our Father's heart. So here we are today to learn to be fearless and use what your daddy gave you. You are here today because you desire to bless your brothers and sisters in the church through interpretation and prophecy, and that makes Papa smile, and it is one beautiful thing. So let's all just sit here quietly for a moment and just silently, just speak in tongues to yourself, just right now, just silently into yourself, just speak in tongues to yourself. And I'm going to kind of whisper in tongues. And when I do, just speak in tongues to yourself. Shama katipe kasonde rasama, mili kashende lasome kavise, shemi trentia ratasa manote. Jude chapter 20 says that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. When I hear myself speak in tongues, it confirms over and over and over that the word is true, and that I am filled to the brim with Him, with the Spirit of God. And every time I realize God and Christ are in me, that changes how I perceive any situation for the better. As we say down here in Georgia, when I speak in tongues, I ain't afeard of nothing. I ain't afeard of nothing. And you and God always make a majority. That is the genuine dynamic duo. Remember, when you went back and spoke in tongues the first time, you didn't have to beg God. You didn't have to plead. You didn't have to do penance. You simply trusted God. You did what the Bible says. You took a deep breath. You moved your mouth, your lips, used your vocal cords. You spoke in tongues. You manifested the God-given ability that is already resident within you. So as we get into these practice sessions today, here's the mantra. Let everything that we do be done in love right here, right now. Amen.